Grace and peace to you on this morning. We welcome you to our worship today at Parma Christian Church, where we gather in the name of the Lord to worship God together. Surely God is with us in this virtual place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Holy God, you created us and you sustain us. We come with thanksgiving for these moments when we can ease the pace of our lives and listen for your voice. Create a spirit within us that truly draws us toward you and toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. A spirit deep, perceptive, gentle, and bold. Clear our minds, open our hearts, and touch us with your presence and your power. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church. You are welcome to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. on Facebook Live. There are two items I'd like to remind you of this morning. The first is communion. We do believe that your table at home is an extension of Christ's table here on earth, and all are invited to celebrate in Holy Communion with us. The second is offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and we ask that you use our online giving tool, Givelify, which is found on our church website, parmachristianchurch.org, or you can simply mail your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Our scripture today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And most of us recognize right away when I start reading the scripture that it is the scripture that we typically refer to as the Ten Commandments. Hear now this word from God this morning. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Typically, every year, this year being a little bit of an exception, but most years, thousands of young people from all across our country do what they've always dreamed of doing. They move out of their parents' house and into a college dorm room. And after the cars are unloaded, after several last hugs are given, and after several assurances of, yes, Mom, I'll be fine, I'll call you if I need anything, the parents finally leave. Then the freshman runs back to the dorm rooms, arms raised in the air, thinking, if not shouting aloud, I'm free! I'm finally free! Yet, as the semester starts to go by, this newly liberated student will one day have an epiphany. He or she may be free from mom and dad's rules, but now there's a whole new set of rules to learn and to live by. There are the rules for life in the dorm, some written, others unwritten. There are the rules of living in a larger community campus. Each class has rules for turning in assignments, penalties for missing class, turning in late work. There are rules for how many classes you need to take in order to graduate. And then, upon graduation, there are new rules that one encounters, rules at work, rules and laws that govern life. There are rules everywhere we go. No one is truly free to live as one desires. Rules are everywhere. We have laws and rules for good reasons. And the biggest reason we have rules is because they help us to live in relationship with one another in healthy ways. While we may not always want to think so, rules are actually a good thing when the rules are written to enhance our communities and our life together. The perfect example of this is the Ten Commandments, the scripture we heard this morning. These rules came to the Israelites just as they needed them. Just like the college student leaving home for the first time, the Israelites were enjoying a freedom they had never experienced before. There was no Pharaoh to tell them what to do, none of Pharaoh's overseers to punish them and push them around. Life was good. But life quickly changed for the Israelites. They began to realize that they were in a different kind of situation. They understood the nature of their new situation. Here they were, out in the desert, the wilderness, not a whole lot of food or water, and there was really no safe place to go. So maybe life wasn't so good for them after all. Maybe life was better for them back in the land of Egypt, where at least they had food to eat and water to drink, where at least they had a roof over their head. Life in Egypt certainly wasn't easy, but it was somewhat predictable. As long as they followed Pharaoh's rules, it was livable. Moses could hear their grumblings as they began this wandering journey through the desert. God provided manna. God provided water out of a rock. Yet the people still had trouble living in community. Even though their basic needs were being met, the uncertainty of their future made life unbearable. It meant living together was rough. So rough that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took him aside and said, Moses, you can't go on like this. People are bickering and complaining and bringing all sorts of trivial problems to you. You have to get some help. You need to set up some leaders among the people to help you solve the problems. Well, Moses took Jethro's advice and organized a system of people to take their complaints to these leaders. But it was obvious that something else was needed. The people needed some rules, some boundaries, some instructions to live by. All of this newfound freedom just wasn't really working for them. And one of the hardest things that we have to do as humans is to learn to live together in community with one another. As individuals, we tend to think of ourselves first and other people second. We are often so focused on what is good for me that we forget to see what is good for others or good for the whole community. We forget to consider what it is best for all of us instead of what is just best for myself. It's one of those sins that we are guilty of because it is so ingrained into our personhood. It is a part of our human nature. And unfortunately, no matter how hard we try, it's one of those sins that will creep up on us when we least expect it. Poor Moses. He was surrounded by all of those Israelites who could only think about themselves and what was best for them individually. Thankfully, God decided to intervene and offer some help. And that's when Moses, I think he was probably just frustrated with the people, he climbed a mountain and he spent some serious time alone with God. I can almost hear him saying, "God, you told me that you would help me get them out of Egypt. But now, what do I do with them? Can I turn this car around and take them back?" Well, of course, Moses didn't actually say that, but he probably thought something similar. Thankfully, God understood that these Israelites were living in a difficult situation, and God saw that they could not live in community with one another without some serious help. So God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. 10 simple rules to follow. 10 rules to help them to learn to live together in community with one another. Now, most of us tend to think of these commandments as a list of negative rules, anything we shouldn't do, don't do this, don't do that. And in a way, that's largely true. But on the other hand, these rules are guidelines for us to follow to help us to learn to live in community with one another. The Ten Commandments are actually a covenant between God and the Israelites. God says, "I am your God. I have freed you from slavery in Egypt, and I am with you." And then God gives these rules to Moses to take to the people. And this list of rules is meant to give depth and meaning to their freedom. The first rule establishes their relationship with God. "I am your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Believe in me, and you need no other false gods like Pharaoh. Believe in me, and no other false gods will be able to rule over you to make you bow down to them." So the first 4 rules taken together as a set establish the relationship between God and the people. God alone is God. No idols are needed to come close to God. We should show respect to God by not speaking God's name lightly. And we should honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It is a day of rest out of respect and love for God. And most importantly, it is a gift from God to us. A day of rest to help us renew ourselves. The remaining 6 rules remind us to love other people. Those rules help us to live in relationship with each other, to respect each other as individuals, and to build community with others in healthy ways. And when we live by these 6 rules, it brings all of us closer together as children of God. So the first 4 are about loving God, and then the remaining 6 are about loving each other. Today, we are surrounded by stories of political unrest, stories of protests and violence that feature both political parties, movements like Black Lives Matter, white supremacists, QAnon, and other ideologies. And there is much fear in our country. And we have learned to no longer know how to live with each other. The levels of hate and anger at each other are perhaps as high and as great as they've ever been. And our desire for our own individual needs over the needs of the greater community are at an all-time high. We are so focused on me and mine that we've forgotten about us, ours, we, all of us, together. And people on all sides of all of the issues have lost perspective of what is healthy and what is good for all of us. Yet God wants us to remember that all of us are made in the image of God. All of us are called to follow the rules of love God and love other people. These simple rules really can and do make a difference in our lives. The issues at hand in our country today are not new. They have been with us since the beginning of our collective history together. Looking back just 24 years ago to 1996, which really doesn't seem like that long ago, there's a story about a protest in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the Ku Klux Klan had planned a rally there. Yet hundreds of people had shown up to show the KKK that their hatred was not welcome in their town. And the atmosphere was tense, but controlled. Police dressed in riot gear and armed with tear gas protected a small group of Klansmen in white robes and conical hoods, the typical what we think of as the KKK. And then there was a teenager named Kenesha Thomas, who was with a group of anti-KKK demonstrators on the other side of a specially erected fence. And then there was a woman with a megaphone who shouted, "There's a Klansman in the crowd." And the crowd of anti-protesters turned to see a white middle-aged man wearing a Confederate flag t-shirt. And he tried to walk away from them, but the protesters, including Keisha Thomas, followed to chase them out. There were shouts of "Kill the Nazi," and the man began to run, but he was knocked to the ground, and a group surrounded him, kicking him and hitting him with wooden sticks that were on their placards. A mob mentality had taken over. "It became barbaric," said Keisha Thomas. "When people are in a crowd, they're more likely to do things that they would never do as an individual. And someone had to step out of the pack and say, this isn't right." So Thomas, an African-American teenager at the time, still in high school, threw herself on top of a man she did not know and shielded him from the blows. You may have heard this story before. It's pretty well known. It's been out there on the circle and the internet for decades. She says, "When they dropped him to the ground, it felt like two angels had lifted my body up and laid me down on top of the man." For Mark Bruner, a student photographer who witnessed the episode, it was who she saved the most, saved that made Thomas's actions so remarkable. "She put herself at physical risk to protect someone who, in my opinion, would not have done the same for her," he says. Who does that in this world? So what gave Thomas the impetus to help a man whose views, it appeared, were so different from her own? Her religious beliefs played a part, but her own experience of violence was a factor too. "I knew what it was like to be hurt," she says. "The many times that happened, I wish someone would have stood up for me." The circumstances, which she does not want to describe, were different. But violence is violence. Nobody deserves to be hurt, especially not for an idea. Love God and love other people. That's what the Ten Commandments really are all about. Love God and love other people. Minister Gordon Cosby puts it this way: we miss loving our neighbor when we think other people are not our type. We miss Jesus. We can't find him because that's where he really is. Jesus is with the ones that we least expect, and that's where we should be too. When we realize that we are all sinners just trying to live in relationship with one another, that's when amazing, wonderful, God-like things happen. God pulls us all together into a community that shares love, shares laughter, and shares hope for the future. And right now, we all need more hope in this world. Amen.